I'd love to start us off just at the very clear and concrete level of what stories have you seen or done in the last 16, 17 days here that have stuck with you, and would love to hear anything that has come up and has really been in the realm of your own experience.
Hello, this is Arcee calling from Washington, D.C. Super happy to be on the call today, and already I'm just smiling from ear to ear, just hearing all of these people from all over the world calling in. It's pretty cool. I think that the last, 17 days has been really interesting for me, just being sort of addicted to the KindSpring site and getting on every day. I mean, my day starts every morning looking at the Kindness Challenge feed and smiling and oohing and aahing at my computer screen, and just it's amazing to see all of the amazing different things that people are doing in their reflections. And it just, I think one of the broader sort of inspirations that has come out of this has been the challenge to just do more than just the Kindness Challenge every day. And I think one story kind of comes to mind a couple of days ago. I think the challenge was pay forward a kindness received. And I was thinking about that. And one of the most beautiful sort of kindness, acts of kindness I had received in the past couple weeks was just a stranger kind of engaging in a really amazing conversation with me that was quite touching and just really put me in such a beautiful space for the rest of the day. And I wanted to do that. And then a little bit later, there was a reach out to a stranger. And so I was at a coffee shop just in the morning. It was a rainy Sunday morning, and I was just with my husband, and we were reading and just having a nice time. And we had brought along these kindness cards that we had made, just these beautiful little smile with a quote on the back and a smile card, and this is kind of a reflection. And we had spent the morning making them, and we do this every once in a while just for fun. And that morning we had them with us, and there is a woman, the coffee shop was empty because it was raining so hard out, and a woman was sitting across from us, and she was eating alone, and kind of kept looking at each other, and I just took the kindness card, and we walked over there, and we just gave it to her, and she was so surprised, and we ended up talking for 2 hours with her, and it was amazing, and she was just so into it. She was so into the challenge idea, and we had this really beautiful conversation about, what kindness have you received that you'd pay forward, and what it's like to reach out to strangers with kindness, and where there are challenges with that, and where it's so amazingly surprising. It was such a beautiful morning, and we gave her a bunch of cards to pay forward and left, and I just kind of walked out of there thinking, just feeling grateful for the challenge, for having planted that seed in my head that morning to act in that way and to inspire me to think about what kindness looks like in different ways. So, thank you.
Thanks, Arcee. Appreciate that share.
Namaste. Good morning. This is Amazon Patricia from Harker Heights, Texas. What a pleasure it is to be around all of these kind people that came this morning to share. Open-hearted, without anything, expecting anything, but meeting other people just like us. I'm excited because I'm 62 years old, and I had an amazing mother. We were raised in Alaska, and as soon as we could walk and talk, my mother would say to us, kindness costs nothing. Being kind and being giving costs you nothing. So, because, as a kid, you would say, well, why can't we take something to a birthday party? Why can't we do a gift? And my mother would say, everything is not money or tangible. So what I want you to learn is no matter who you meet during the day, even somebody you don't like, no matter what they are, find something to like about them. So, for instance, if you decided that, ooh, she's ugly, look at her shoes and say, oh, you have beautiful red shoes. Or if it's someone that's different from us in every way, you look at them and you say, oh, your hair is beautiful. So ever since I could walk and talk, our whole life was a constant conversation, no matter where we went, to the store, to the gas station, to the grocery store, to a restaurant. We would tell the waitress, oh, you're so nice. So when you have 58 years plus of learning that kindness is what life is about, being open and letting people know that they're important, even in a very small way, changes you all of your life. So when random acts of kindness came out, I was like, it's about time. When the movie came out, Pay It Forward, I was like, about time. But then one day I ran up on Kindspring. And I was in a very dark place. My son had died. And so I started it, and I didn't realize that grief is a process that you think you can do a lot of things, and then you find out you can't. And so when I finally took my joy found its way back to me. I found my way back to Kindspring. And I was so delighted. I have the smile cards. But before then, I used to make my own cards, and I would leave them at restaurants. So everywhere I go, I married my husband. And when I first married him, everywhere we go, he hear me saying, oh, you look so nice. Oh, I love that tie. Oh, you smell so good. So at first he was pretty overwhelmed. But 18 years later, he's pretty used to it. He just sits in the car and waits. Or if we're in a restaurant, he just goes, there she goes. But I am delighted to have a community of people who get up every day. And the 17 days that we've done the challenge, I put it on Facebook. I tell them what I give them the site, and then I tell them what the challenge is, and then I tell them to pass it to all the people on their Facebook. And it's been amazing, the feedback. Some people just come on my site to get the challenge for the day, but to not go on Kindspring. So I just thank you. I just am so excited. I'm excited all of the time. But to have people all around the globe who you never hear about, it's just, you know, it just makes my day, every day. So, there you go.
Thank you so much for sharing. Did I catch your name right? Is it Amazon?
I'm Patricia Amazon. I was the member of the week. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I feel like I won the kindness lottery. I mean, that's better than money, because kindness goes forever. It's intangible, but the effect it has on the people that you meet every day goes on. They never forget you. And not because of something bad you said. I was in the store yesterday, and this really stiff man, and he was really sharp, though. He was just clean as the board of health, as we say. And he was standing in line, and I said, you look good. You sharp. And everybody around was looking at him, and he looked down, and he kind of smiled. And I thought, you know what? I bet you nobody told him how sharp he looked today, because he went through a lot of effort. So to me, that's what life is about. If you can't say anything, my mother used to say, keep it to yourself. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Patricia. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate that share there, Virgie. Patricia's enthusiasm and sort of zest, no matter what she seems to have, you know, even her own challenges that she's sort of come across, is just very infectious and seems to be very much in line with the spirit of the kindness challenge.
Hi, this is Miss from Brooklyn, New York. I've been a member of Kindspring for the past 3 years, and I'm eternally grateful because I feel like this was the gold at the end of the rainbow of my path, because I'm 67 now, and I found you when I was 64, and you have totally transformed me and my life, and now it's like every person I look at, my first thought is, how can I be kind to this person? And it's like I had a brain lobotomy from kindness. and I'm eternally grateful. And I come to you every day because of how you light up my life and make me better for other people. And I'm very emotional. I'm crying, so I'm going to stop talking now.
And I'll start talking. I'm Mindy Journey. And Mish and I like to kid and call ourselves twins because we have found ourselves on KindSpring that we have a lot in common. We have built friendships through this site. In fact, she invited me to her home, sight unseen, and my husband and I went to visit not long ago, and we just spread kindness all over New York City as well. The kindness challenge this time, I hadn't been on a kindness challenge before. I joined last year during the gratitude challenge, and it did transform my life. I have it's opened doors at every encounter that comes across in my day as an opportunity for kindness. It has inspired me in my poetry and different crafts and arts that I share with others. And I must say that every day that I go on KindSpring is like a new breath inside my body, and it just radiates love and compassion and kindness to everyone. I believe we are the change in the world, and I thank Service Space and all the people who are the support of KindSpring that we do not see but help to keep our site going, and I want to thank you all very much. Bye.
Amen, sister. Amen.
You know, Mirja, I just wanted to sort of chime in here, just hearing all of these wonderful positive reflections from KindSpring, the challenges and whatnot, and it actually reminds me, even just a few weeks ago, I went to go visit a very close family friend who's out in near Dayton, Ohio, and this family friend was very sick. He's an elderly man, has a rare form of Parkinson's disease, and he's been in and out of the hospital, and you know that his health is not in great condition. And so I try to visit from time to time whenever I can, just because he means a lot to our family. And one of the things that always strikes me when I go visit is the power of the relationship he and his wife have. It is just filled with such love and such just kindness, and both, in some ways, many could see that as a difficult position. You know, on one side, he's in a position where he can't move on his own, or he's unable to communicate verbally as well. And on the other side, she's playing the role as a caretaker. And I just, when I see how they smile with each other, how they sometimes keep some of the things that may be challenging to themselves within. And how just the love seems to just go over everything, and it ends up infecting the people around them. I know that even just speaking to his nurse, she was like, I remember wheeling him on the wheelchair around town, and people would come up to him and just say hello, and they were just so infected by just even his smile. I had to wonder myself, is this guy the mayor of the town? Because so many people just know him or know his wife or just know them by their kindness. And so I remember visiting, and I remember reading a story on KindSpring a while back around, I think it was Christmas time a year or two back, where people were doing sort of the Secret Santas. And I was like, well, it's still summertime. It's a bit early for Christmas, but I figured rather than buying a gift for them, I thought maybe I could do an act of kindness as a gift instead. And so we stopped by Kmart, and there was just to pick up a Get Well card, and, popped into the back where they had, things that are on layaway. And I asked the woman if, there was something on that was put back there that had a bunch of toys for kids. And she was a little surprised. She was like, you just want to do this for people that you don't even know? And I said, yeah. It's like, I feel people, I've received many gifts of kindness from people that I don't know. And I thought it might be a nice way to sort of pass that on. And so it was sort of a nice way to share just this inspiration I've gotten from KindSpring myself and from what others have done, and just sort of pass it on.
So wonderful to hear these reflections, and I feel a lot of energy going, and I would love to transition based off of what you shared here on this, from this question of what have we experienced to moving more towards our insights. So the question that comes to mind is, what are we learning? And very specifically, excuse me, as we go from thinking about what kinds of actions have taken place, you know, the kinds of emails that we'll get day to day. Today was, let's compliment a couple people. Previously was, what small thing can we gift to someone? How can we think about our kindness in our intimate relationships? And so from these practices, what kinds of insights are coming up for you? Recognizing that no matter how much we practice, deeper and deeper insights can keep coming up. So I'd love to ask that. And anybody that feels called to share, of course, please, star six.
Hi, Biju. That's a very, very insightful question as to what it's doing to you from inside. And let me take you to my day number four. It's October 5th, Sunday morning. An email came in and say, thank a public servant today. And I see a nice picture of a kid on a bike, and a police officer is helping him. And it's visually so powerful. I said, let me thank a police officer. But the immediate thought that came to me are the tickets that I get. And I end up getting ticket every other year, actually. I don't know how it works. It happens between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's time for being a little more careful for me now. So, but I said, you know, I go to Panera or Starbucks every morning to get my coffee. And so I said, tomorrow morning, why don't I just buy cookies from Panera, stop by the police station, give them cookies. But the experience of the tickets came to me, and I feel a little intimidated to just pop in a police station and give cookies. So I'm just kind of debating what to do. But next day morning, I'm there at Panera, and I see one police officer actually sitting there at Panera Bread having coffee and breakfast. I didn't have nerve to go and talk to her, but I had a smile card on me. And smile card, for those of you on the call that don't know, it's a way of making an anonymous act of kindness and passing on the good word and hopefully inspiration that they will pay forward and do something nice to someone else. So I bought a gift card for $10 and put a smile card in there. And I told the server to just give the card to that lady that is sitting there. And I said, make sure that she doesn't know that I'm the one doing it. And he said, I understand. So his name is Anthony. So Anthony stopped by and gave her the card. And I was looking over, and I saw that the police officer was very keen on that. And so she opened the little jacket, that envelope, and she looked at the card, the gift card, and then the smile card. And then I could see that she actually smiled to Anthony, and I was very happy about it. But the touching moment for me came the next day morning, actually. So here I am again for my coffee. And Anthony, he's basically working there in the front. And he actually greeted me to my name. I was really surprised. He's like, hi, Devin, good morning. And I was really surprised because I have never experienced that at any of the restaurants where people would actually remember my name. And so I got my coffee and a little piece of baguette, and he said, you know, it's been taken care of. He had this little wink in his eye. It's an anonymous act of kindness. And he just felt from inside that he should reciprocate my act of kindness. And he was not even at the receiving end of it. I mean, he was just passing it on. But that connection that happened between me and Anthony, I think that's priceless. That made my day. And small things like this are inspiring me to smile to the strangers around. It's opening me from inside, and it is allowing me to have that pause in hectic life and being able to reflect. And that is changing me in so many different ways. And so that's the impact that acts of kindness can have on you. And that's one story from me.
Thank you so much, Devin. Hello. Yes, is this Indu?
Yes, this is Indu.
I've been following this for a year and a half, and what is done to me is everywhere around us is negative news, negative things, and this grounds you to a positive thing at looking at small things, which are what you can do yourself to make your surrounding a better place and yourself a better place. And I'm a medical doctor, and I worked in third world countries or developing countries, and I'm going to give a talk to the students here in Canada that you can do global work at home. And I think that's what inspired me to change, that you can do these things at home to make difference. You don't have to go to thousands of miles away to make a difference or to be a better person.
Hmm. Thank you, Indu. This actually reminds me of a story as well, if I may share with the group. In a kindness challenge that I was involved with previously, part of the members who are joining it were members of the U.S. military, and one of them was a general who came back after one particular reflection session, and he said that when he left in the previous session, he was planning on needing to deploy some of his soldiers into Afghanistan with the intention of, according to the U.S. military, quote-unquote, securing the peace. And as he reflected on his activities more and more, he decided that he was going to change the plan, and he ended up sending those same troops to Texas. And I asked him why they are being sent in that place instead of Afghanistan. And he said, well, in Texas, they have a course on organic gardening. And I want all of these soldiers to go through how you can grow food in low water conditions. And then I'm going to send them to Afghanistan, and they will secure a different kind of peace. And that just made my jaw drop, and I ended up doing some research of, you know, what happens when we think about shifting ourselves in that internal way. And the science was showing the same thing, that We have an amygdala in our brains, which is part of our emotional system. And that particular part of our brain is responsible for our fight or flight mechanism, the part that makes us not come from compassion but come from fear. And we find that in most of society, this particular part of the brain is encouraged to grow. And it grows the most in our you know, leaders, in our investment bankers, in our political leaders. And so we find that these kinds of practices, the practices of compassion, practices of kindness, it starts changing the neurological structures of our brain so that people can start to shift how they choose to behave in the world. So I really appreciate you sharing that reflection. With that as context, I'd love to take it even to a bit more subtle level of continuing to invite reflections. And the next question that's on my mind, and you can choose to answer this one or the previous one, is how you've experienced kindness moving into subtler and subtler ways in your life. So it's one thing to give flowers to somebody. It's another thing to say a kind word. And it's another thing to think something kind about someone. And I think each of those has strong value, of course, but certainly there are some forms of kindness that are more subtle than others. And so I wanted to invite any reflections on that. How have you experienced it? How have you received it? How have you seen other people do it?
Hi, this is Nilamandi from Michigan.
Yes, hello, Nilamandi.
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, you know what? I don't know which question I'm answering to, but I would just like to share how it has changed my life in the sense being kind. As Patricia was talking about her mother, you know, how she taught them different things as they were growing up, just to be kind, and, you know, it automatically comes from within. So I was also raised up. So I have like two opposite people in my life, two moms in my life. One is my mom, and other one is my mother-in-law. I'm really sharing a very, very personal thing. So, but I think it's really important for me to share today. So my mom was really outgoing, very kind, talking to people, being nice, and we grew up in that kind of atmosphere. And then I come to this family where everybody's just like, I mean, they're nice people, but it's really very hard for them to connect and convey or love somebody. So I always had a distance with my mother-in-law. And we really, I mean, I did everything what I'm supposed to do and respect her, but that connection wasn't there. And as I started coming with, you know, the group that I am with, you, all of you, my service-based family, and I realized that, you know, what I'm doing, I'm being kind outside. Like, I could, my heart opens to anybody. Like, I'm floating in kindness, and then I'm at home, and whole, you know, the whole atmosphere in the house is so tense because we just don't connect. And it's been, I'm married for more than 30 years, so it was really, really very challenging for me to, you know, not challenging, I should say, but I had to put all my 100%, more than 100% in to make a difference in the house first. I thought being kind outside is okay, but if I'm not to my mother-in-law, if I can't connect, so let me do my part. And then, you know, reading the wisdom readings on Wednesdays, and there are so many of it. You know, you do your part, you know, don't worry about the results. And I thought I wasn't doing my part that well, it looks like, if I'm not getting any results. So I started, you know, being, and I think the things have changed for the last couple of, a year or two, and we're really doing much better, at least in the house. We have more relaxed, more otherwise, because she lives with us, so every day used to be a really challenge. Now it's much better. So I think being kind, starting at home, like how you start, everything starts at home first. Your charity starts at home. So being that part was, I'm really blessed to be part of this, and, you know, learning little things at a time. Small acts are more important than doing big things. So I think I'm really grateful to be part of this wonderful family and teaching me kindness in different way. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Nilamanti. You know, Birju, if I could just jump in for a second. Beautiful share, and I think, you know, this goes to the question you had asked earlier in terms of some of the subtlety around kindness, you know, of, you know, it's almost easier sometimes to do it outside of one's home or outside of, you know, the people we know to strangers. It seems almost easier to practice kindness. And then as you get sort of closer to the home or closer to the heart in some ways, it becomes definitely a bit more challenging. And so often, you know, it's easy to get caught up in this conversation, even within our inner dialogue of saying, well, you know, I do X and I do Y, but the other person isn't coming through. Whereas if we just keep the focus really on what we can do to bring out the best of ourselves, and that's what I was hearing from Nilamanti, and that it very much inspires me. I was actually upset this morning at someone, and it was sort of sitting here festering me, and as I'm listening to all this beautiful positivity in the call and just listening to the share, I myself now feel like I just want to go to the person and apologize myself for anything that I may have contributed to sort of that conversation. And I think it's just those little tiny shifts that start to make a difference. I am going to go to our next caller.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Patricia. Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. Two things came to mind. The lady that just shared, it reminded me when I married my husband, and everybody was so excited. They came from, we're from Alaska. I knew his sisters, but I didn't know him. We both left home at the same time. So when we took our first visit to go to see his mom and dad, who lived about 180 miles from us, when we got ready to leave, I went to start hugging everybody, and they all said at one time, "We don't do that." And I looked at them and I said, "Well, he just married a woman that does." I said, "We hug everybody." So within, we would go visit them every other week. By the third month, they would be lined up, the mom, the dad, and the brother, all waiting for their hugs. And so what I find with kindness everywhere I go, especially, you know, you have your, like, it's my Starbucks. People say they notice I say that. It's my Panera. It's my HEB. Well, it's mine because everybody there knows me, because when I come in, they say, how you doing? And I go, blessed by the best. Or if I be any better, I have to be a twin. Or anything that emulates that, no matter how I'm feeling, I want to, when I express a good thought or a good word, even though I'm feeling bad, before I know it, I'm feeling better. Now, the one thing that I have found that has been subtle for me in kindness is being kind to myself. It's so easy to be kind to everyone else because of charity needs or because you want to help other people. But one day I recognized that my husband would say to me, you don't rest enough. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. Do you recognize that you don't give people a chance to be kind to you? Or you're not being kind to yourself when you run yourself down and you're sick? Because I have a disorder. And he said, the way you treat other people, don't you think you should think about treating yourself that way? Well, you know, if you have a mother that always tells you to be kind and you start forgetting that, it starts more than at home. I think the starter of the SAVE service, Netten, Matthew, you know who I'm talking about, that did the TED Talk. He said, it starts with you, then it goes out. So, in other words, it's what is kindness really if you can't be kind to yourself? For instance, by saying, I have to say no to you to say yes to me today. And so, from being kind, I'm learning that it's all right to be kind to me. It's all right to be good to me and not feel selfish or egotistical or like I'm, you know, it's so this has helped me being kind. The last lesson I learned, which I think is the hardest for everyone to learn, is the greatest love of all is for yourself. And when you love yourself, it's easier to be kind to yourself. And so I'm grateful for that. And this last time around, or starting with Kindspring again, reading the stories, I'm learning that more and more. A lot of people give, but they also are learning to take time for themselves. Even that's being kind. When you say, oh, I don't have time. Well, don't you really, to be kind to yourself? So that's been the subtle thing for me, especially since my son died. He was my only child. And so it was always easy to put all the attention to him. And all of a sudden, all I had was my little dogs and my honey, of course. But I had to put that kindness somewhere. And after a while, I realized that it was all right to be kind to me. And that's a good feeling, without guilt. So.
Beautiful, Patricia.
Thank you.
Just hearing how people can take such adversity in their lives and sort of flip it on its head and really give back. And I'm hearing your conviction, and you might have been the lottery winner this week, but I'm the one getting paid.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. Namaste.
Thank you.
Namaste. I'd love to build off of this reflection that Patricia just shared. And of course, you're welcome to reflect on earlier questions as well. But this is a deep and nuanced point, as I heard it, this question of being kind to oneself. The purpose of these kinds of reflections or reflection calls is to get to a place of nuance. It can easily be seen as a platitude to say, oh, well, we should just be kind to ourselves. And yesterday I was in a call with my parents where We were talking about meeting a gentleman whose idea of being kind to oneself was to eat as much ice cream as he wanted. And so this is a question of what does it actually mean to be kind to oneself, and how does one do that in a skillful way?
So if there's any reflections that you've had in this time period of recent or beyond, I would love to invite that as well. Of course, star 6 or ask@servicespace.org.
And go to our next caller.
Okay. Hi, this is Michelle Ehlers again. So I'll address this last question and one before, because for me they're completely related, and also build off of what Patricia said. The subtlety of being kind, one of the things that I've found is a subtle kindness, but it also is a kindness to myself, even though it looks like a kindness to someone else, is the act of forgiveness. Not just overt forgiveness, which makes a huge impact, but an internal forgiveness. Even in the moments when walking down the street, somebody's in my way. And I can do whatever I do, but internally I can also be upset, I can be angry, or I can make an internal choice to forgive whatever it is that's bothering me. And it can be something as simple as somebody's in my way. It can be something as profound as somebody's done something that physically is painful for me or feels emotionally very devastating. Regardless of what I do externally, that taking a moment to choose to forgive internally is a very subtle thing, but it can actually shift how the rest of the day goes, how I'm interacting with other people, what I'm able to do with other people, and it's a great gift for myself because it totally changes my experience of the world.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hi, this is Indu again. I think what Patricia said is, and the other caller said, is coming to terms with yourself. And outwardly, sometimes you are kind, but if someone is not kind to you, it hurts you. And I think I've been struggling with that part, trying to find a way to not affect it to the situation that you think bad about the person. So I think so. My reflections has been, how can I not look bad at the other person at the act, but try to be understanding and forgive. And in doing that, I'm also being very kind to myself because I'm not upset anymore. So I think it works both ways, and yoga's principle of ahimsa to yourself gives us that you don't do anything which hurts you as well as you don't do anything to hurt anybody else.
Wonderful reflection. Thank you, Indu. Going to go to our next caller.
Hi, this is Campbell calling from Austin, Texas. I'm thinking about just subtlety and how to create more kindness throughout the day, either with yourself or others. One of the really small things that I continue to find myself needing to remind myself of is not being rushed, but to create space in my day. And so I do that most often for myself by just taking a deep breath. So for instance, when I'm walking from my car into my room where I teach on the sidewalk, as soon as I put my feet on the sidewalk, I take a deep breath so that I can just like slow down to take everything in. And it reorients me and kind of attaches me to that authentic place of, you know, my purpose and why I want to be kind and what do I want to accomplish during the day. And so anyway, that's a subtle thing that I found that really affects how I connect with myself and others, is if I just create a little more space in every moment of the day when possible.
You know, Birju, one of the things that you had said earlier was you know, this was really going to be a dance, and I was thinking of that theme of, you know, give, receive, dance. And, you know, I feel like with so many of the individuals that are on the call with us today, giving is almost seems somewhat effortless to them, and finding ways to be kind. And I'm curious if there are callers that could maybe reflect on this idea of receiving kindness. Do you receive as easily or as graciously as you give? Because I know that that's something that I've personally struggled with in the past, and it had to actually be pointed out to me, where I was driving to go get something to eat with some friends, and I was visiting from out of town, and I wanted to make sure that I paid for dinner. I just felt gratitude. And but I knew that I was going to have to sort of be in competition. And so literally my friend pulls up to the light. We're about to park, and she was going to take a turn into the parking lot. And I jumped out of the car at the light like a crazy mad person and run into the restaurant, put the order, gave my credit card. And, you know, and I felt good, you know, that this was great. And this individual who's a very close friend who I gain a lot of insight from said, you know, while I appreciate the kindness, you have to also learn how to receive that as well, because it's so, you know, it's that whole idea that, you know, as good as you might feel giving that, that you have to think about giving other people the opportunity to give. Mm-hmm. And so that was just something that I seem to have missed in the equation when I used to think about, you know, this idea of giving and receiving. And I'm curious how others sort of feel about that.
Well, I'd just love to build on your question for 10 seconds to add on the potential value for others to reflect on of how receiving another person's intention of kindness can be done. How have you done that to receive gracefully an intention?
It looks like we have a bunch of callers.
This is Patricia Amazon, and what a wonderful question. I learned it about 5 years ago because I'm a giver. I love giving, and one day my friend said to me, "You have so much fun giving to other people, but you don't let them have fun giving back to you." And I thought to my, and she said, "You know, part of that is kind of ego, don't you think?" And I said, "What do you mean? I mean, I just love doing it." She says, "But you got to give other people a chance to be as happy as you are." She said, "You're always just la, 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 la." She says, "Other people want to get on the party train too." And I remember Oprah saying one time, she said, "When someone does something kind for you and you don't know what to say or you feel uncomfortable or whatever," she says, "the nicest thing you can just say is, thank you." Mm-hmm. And so what I have found is, for me, receiving a kindness is like the same way I feel when I do it to someone else. The joy is twofold. If you're always the one picking up the check, and even if someone is struggling, because a lot of times I would say, well, you know, they can't afford it, or how do, maybe they've saved for that opportunity for to pay for your lunch this time. And the sacrifice is not the money. The sacrifice is the act. And so if you keep taking the act of kindness from other people, is that really kind? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I do it now. I just let my gut tell me. I do know that most people, especially if they know you at your places or your family or whatever, there's just some people that are shy. And they don't really know how to, they do like the gentleman said earlier, he didn't know how to talk to the policeman, so he gave it to the server to give to you. I've learned that sometimes that's how people give, but you have a sixth sense, we all do, whether we hone it or not, when someone wants to open their heart to you. And what I try to do in every situation, wherever I go, is go in with an open heart to feel that energy, to be humble enough to know that if there's five people in the room, probably all five of us want to give. And because I'm really assertive and can articulate myself, don't take that chance away from someone that is shy and quiet. Give them the space to do what I do, which is to make the world better by being kind.
Mm. so beautiful, Patricia. And I came through those same set of realizations, and it took the help of some friends to point that out as well. In terms of, you know, it's a careful line between, you know, just giving out the goodness of your heart, and then sometimes it's, you know, you can flirt, your ego can get the best of you and say, you know, oh, do I want to keep up this image of me as the giver or me as constantly kindness, or even just that sort of expectation, and moving to sort of a more subtle, you know, dance of saying, okay, this is my opportunity to give and this is my opportunity to receive and allow someone else to give. So I really appreciate that. And can I go to our next caller?
Hi, this is Indu again. I find receiving is much harder than giving. I am learning how to receive gracefully, and still hasn't mastered it because it's much easier for me to give. So it's a learning process.
Hi, this is Michelle again. For me, this goes again to a very subtle place. And thank you so much for this conversation. It's reminding me of things that sometimes I forget. I've had different opportunities during my life to be completely dependent on other people during surgery or following surgery or when I'm incapacitated physically. And that's been hard for me to be dependent on other people. And it's taken some work to be able to accept that gracefully. But one of the things I found over the years is that when we can get into a space of listening very profoundly, and after practicing kindness, practicing listening for what people need and providing that, and practicing allowing people to give to us, to be kind to us, there is a space that we can get into where we can sense what needs to come next, what needs to arise. And in that place, you begin to lose the awareness of me and you, and you can begin to sense a profound connection. And in that space, there is no giving or receiving. There's just what is being called for next. And it's an amazing, amazing experience.
Hello, this is Mindy Journey. May I speak again?
Yes, please, Mindy.
Yes, I'm enjoying the callers very, very much, and I can see already that we are changing the world one kind act at a time. And also I'd like to address the aspect of changing my own self. I used to suffer from a severe panic disorder, could not even leave the house. I have went in many different phases. Now through meditation and reaching out to others, I am perfectly comfortable going up to strangers, handing them a peace crane that I also put with a little prayer and the Kind Spring website, and just wish them peace. And they are always very happy to receive them. And I must say that whatever insights I've gathered with this transformation is that we are all connected through love, and when I look at another person, I see the divine in them, and that's the way of the world. And I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mindy.
Yeah, Prakash, from Heart of the Bay, Birju, I was reminded of the kindness your parents are spreading, for example, through sharing the seeds. Just this morning we received these beautiful packet of moringa seeds all the way from Arizona, and all the connectors in between, Rahul, Asha, Vinya, and so many others who are being instruments of this magic happening, unfolding. And that thank you note reminded me of an experience earlier this week. We have there is particularly the receiving aspect that Amit you so timely brought it out. It gives me, I see an opportunity to witness that more so with our now 1.5-year-old daughter. For her, the latest adventure in her, this ever-playful life, is picking up different words and sort of connecting those words to the things around her, along with the usual words like appa, amma, like mom, dad, grandparents, and everybody else are like akka, like sister and brother for her. And those are the limited choice of words that she uses. And for anything like four-legged, everything is a baba, which is the dogs for her. And including the cows, whenever she sees the cow, she says, bigger dog, big dog. And then she picked up these, you know, and whenever she receives hugs and whenever she sees people smile, quite spontaneously she started saying her own version of thank you. And then whenever she sees somebody raising their voice, I think she brings up this word, peace. I think what she tries to say there is please, and she ends up saying peace. And just yesterday, I think she picked up this new word called so sweet. Like, so whenever she sees something beautiful around her, she started saying so sweet. So I think that is a beautiful lesson unfolding for me, my wife, and everybody around here, is just witnessing those moments and how this little one processes all these from the fresh set of eyes and the heart. And there is a beautiful moment of learning for us, for sure. I wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Prakash.
Thank you, Prakash. And I just wanted to share that act of kindness that you referred to with my parents is especially heartwarming, knowing that my parents are on the call. So much appreciated. That being said, I'd love to invite one more question to the group as we transition over. We have about 10 minutes left on this call, and there's one particular question that I really wanted to get out there and hear reflections from the group before the end, which is about practicing kindness when it's not so easy to practice kindness. So far, the way that this discussion has unfolded is about the joy of sharing this approach to kindness, this approach to giving, receiving as well. And what I would love to invite now is, during those times when we are in conflict or when we feel resistance or are emotionally triggered, what has been your experience in this 21-day period to experiment with that sensation, to say, okay, I don't feel good right now, and the way that I want to respond to that instead of react to that is with kindness? Any reflections would be very welcome. We'd love to share and learn from each other, *6 and ask@servicespace.org.
And of course, if you want to even just respond to a previous question, you may do so as well. I'm going to go to our next caller.
Hi, this is Neelam again. I just had to share a couple of stories about how it's hard to accept the kindness. There are two things happened. Like, I was in the hospital, and my doctor, he's my brother-in-law, but after the surgery, he knows how I love tea. So after everything was done and none of my relatives who came to see me, they didn't bring me anything. But this man went to Starbucks and got me a cup of tea from there. And I was like, oh, no, you can't do that. Why did you do that? And I was like so overwhelmed, and I just kept telling him, no, you shouldn't have done that. And then my husband said, take it, he bought it for you. So when I took it, I could see the smile on his face. He was feeling so good about, you know, not only being my doctor, but being my brother at that time, my brother-in-law at that time. So I think we have to learn to take it, because you are there for others. So if people are there for you, you know, you have to. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I think it's a really great question, because it's a really good test of, you know, our ability to see how well kindness has transformed us, right? I mean, there's so many, like, ways that, you know, when practicing kindness or receiving kindness, it has an impact on us and how we see the world. But when we're put in a situation of conflict, of difficulty, when someone is being difficult with us, or we just may not be in a good spot because something may have happened, it really sort of puts us to that challenge. And so really looking forward to hearing some more reflections on that. And I'm going to go to our next caller.
This is Patricia Amazon. And I thank you for saying that question, because as a Black American in America, it's a struggle every day. I'm a political freak, so that's also a divisiveness type thing. And I remember about 8 years ago, I was losing my mind, and my sister said to me, who is my baby sister, but a lot of times my big sister, she said, you need to do two things if you want to consider yourself loving, compassionate, and kind. She said, first of all, no matter what you see externally, you have to remember that everyone is God. She says, when you're getting ready to blow your cool or to judge somebody, remember that that person, because of what you say you believe, you have to see the God in them. And you have to realize that everybody doesn't grow at the same time. And that if you give over your power by being angry or feeling justifiable, even anger, you have to ask yourself, everybody, by the grace of God, there go I. So what I do, as she gave me a phrase, she says, every time you get ready to be to think an unkind thought or to react to the things that are happening on the planet now, you look at that person or you look at that situation and you say, I bless you and I release you. And she said, you say it until you feel love, feel your heart. And so that's the way I deal with the situations that come into my life that I consider unkind, unjust, is by looking at him and remembering that that individual, that is a human, that's humanity. And because they're not where I am does not mean they won't get there. But if I keep them in the box, if I don't let them out, then we won't get there as human beings. So I always remind myself when I see someone, I'm seeing myself. When I see that person is me. And that's how I deal with being human, because I am. No matter how much I would like to think I'm above the fray, there's parts of my day every day that is painful. But if I remember that person is me, it's easier to let it go.
Very powerful reflection, Patricia. Thank you. You know, Virgia, I know we're approaching sort of the end of the call, and I thought it might be nice if you perhaps could share.
I'm feeling so much gratitude right now to be able to share this space with a group of people who have an intention to be there for others. And that's really something that I want to cultivate in my own life. This is why KindSpring was created, as a tool to practice. And on some level, it's why we created 21-day kindness challenges or 21-day challenges beyond even just kindness. There's a lot of science out there that says if you take on an activity for 21 days and you do it with a group that you are connected to and that you reflect with, then after 21 days, you're not changed. You're not a different person. And everyone here was kind before we started the challenge. But here we are, and we have a snowball that we can grow with. Just like people that go to the gym don't go to the gym because they're weak. They go to become stronger. These are the kinds of activities that allow us to grow our kindness muscles or our mindfulness muscles or our gratitude muscles. And I have found that the way that that gets continued on an ongoing basis is through two elements. One is maintaining the practice. And so we had a caller share that she created her own challenge with her own community.
that may be something that you're interested in as well, whether it's your workplace or your family or your school or your children's school. We've seen a lot of folks take on those kinds of practices and do them together, you know, not just by themselves, and we found that to be really helpful. I certainly benefited from that. And then the second piece, which is a little bit more elusive, is to create spaces like what we've just had. This idea of reflection and asking pointed questions that allow us to think about what it is that we're doing has been immeasurably valuable for me. And if you wish to set this up for yourself, you can log on to KindSpring, and there are documents there that can help guide that conversation if you feel like you could use that guidance, or of course you're welcome to do it on your own. What we'd love to do is to start changing the conversation at this very subtle level so that we all have permission to behave a different way. I really appreciate the prompt on it. Thank you. Anything to add to that?
No, just wanted to thank everyone for joining the call today. I'd like to end with a quick moment of silence, and then I'll sort of sign us all off on the call. And so if we could just do a quick 30-second moment of silence, and really this time really just hold gratitude for the call, hold gratitude for each other, and really for those of us that have given kindness or given us insight toward kindness in our lives. Thank you. And again, I want to just take everyone here off of mute. I thought it might be nice just if on the count of three we could just say a collective thank you. And it's really a thank you to each other for either holding space and creating this ground for us to listen to one another, or for sharing your perspective, and really for participating in these challenges. And if you haven't had the chance to do so, please go to kindspring.org, and that way you can participate in one of these 21-day challenges, or even host your own challenge, whether it's with your folks at your office or your church or your school or whatever party organization, or even just a circle of friends. It's a wonderful opportunity to practice kindness and to have these types of dialogues and circles. And again, if some of you are new to this Awaken call, we have these calls every Saturday. And we have these open circles of sharing in the beginning and a sort of a Q&A in the end. And we feature a special guest speaker each week that shares their insights into some of the work that they're doing in the world. And I know that this upcoming week we have an individual that is building collective energy and synergy with community around stories of courage and creativity. And this person, this individual name is Shirin Shubani. She works in community service for women and children with special needs, and it often gives her the insight into opportunities for creative growth in very sort of personally challenging situations. And so, you know, please visit awaken.org, and you can learn more about her there. And again, thank you all. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to take everyone off mute here, and maybe we can say thank you here on the count of three. One and three.
Thank you.
Blessed be. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great weekend.
You too.